Hey there, everybody. It is January the 26th, 2011, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I am Ken. I'm flying solo tonight. I know you were waiting there. Who else? Who's in the other chair? Who's opposite from the table from Ken? No, I am flying solo tonight because Tanya, our beloved Tanya, is all kinds of snowed in down there in Massachusetts. It's just snowing up here in Vermont, but, you know, we bring you the gay. We would, of course, bring you the gay. Hey, did you know that you can subscribe to This Show Is So Gay? You can. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com. And if you click on podcast, there's information right there on how to link to our iTunes page and you can subscribe. Because when you subscribe, you get to hear all the great news and all the great guests. We're going to start out with some news for you. So last night was the State of the Union. I kind of didn't watch it. Did you guys watch it? I missed it. So I've kind of become addicted to Friday Night Lights, and certainly I didn't privilege Friday Night Lights over the State of the Union, but I did. So I did not watch the State of the Union, but certainly read all the articles this morning just about what Obama said, what he didn't say, what the reactions were. So he did not say anything about gay marriage. And there were some folks that thought, hey, he's going to say something about gay marriage, and he's going to talk about gay marriage, and that's going to be the next hurdle. But he did not say anything about gay marriage. The prepared remarks of Obama's 6,757-word speech made mention of one of the seminal accomplishments, but not marriage, during his administration, legislative repeal of the 1993 Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. Now, everyone knew he was going to highlight Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but here was the problem. When he talked about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, he said this, quote, "Starting this year, no American will be forbidden from serving the country they love because of who they love." Well, kind of. Let's not take that to mean that no American will be denied serving their country. Because as we covered, I don't know, about a month or so back when we had Mara Kiesling on the show, folks who identify as transgender still cannot serve openly in the military. And so it's one of those things where we do need to pause. And yes, we celebrate. Celebrate, celebrate, celebrate. Don't ask, don't tell is a thing no more. But the next sentence is not, and everyone can now serve. Because our brothers and sisters who are the T part of LGBT still cannot serve openly. So some different websites sprung up today to there's an online petition to sign to make it clear. And so if you just type into your little browser there, your searching browser, "Tell President Obama that the military discriminates against transgender people," I have no doubt that this petition will pop up. You will be able to sign it. And then hopefully we can create some change and make it so that everyone is able to serve their country. So I did not watch State of the Union. I'm still patriotic and I love my country, but I really like that Friday Night Lights. Anybody else? Friday Night Lights? Send me an email. thisshowisogay@aol.com. Especially our listeners out in Texas, because I have to tell you, I feel like I know Texas now because I watch this show. I also feel like I know football. Everything I now know about football, I've learned from Friday Night Lights. I've learned that every football game is decided in the last 7 seconds. I don't know if that's true in real life, but that's what I've learned from the show. One of the funniest images of the week. If you have not seen this, you have to see this image because I will describe it to you. But seeing it is a whole different animal. So a Harps shopper. So Harps is at some sort of grocery store. We don't have a Harps here in Vermont that I know of. But there in the Harps stores, when you go to the checkout counter, you have all of your little magazines there. And in the same way that they would put up a block for, say, Playboy or some other porn magazine, you know, that has naked folks in it, where you can see the title of the magazine, but you can't see the front cover image because it says, I don't know, it's called a family shield to protect shoppers. Well, they had one of these shields over Us Weekly. Now you're thinking, Us Weekly? Last time I checked, Us Weekly does not have naked people. They have fashion tips and some gossip about celebrities. But the cover featured new dads, Elton John and David Furnish, with their son Zachary. And so because of that, this Us Weekly with the gays and their son on the cover had to be put behind the family shield. That's still where we are in certain places. So The shields have now been taken down. So this is the update that just came out. The shields have now been taken down at the store, according to the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, which spoke to Harp's corporate executive assistant, Marty Yarborough. Marty told GLAAD that the shields were placed over the covers because some of the customers complained. Brittany, no last name given, Brittany, a worker at the store, confirmed that the shields were taken down this morning. So family shields over Us Weekly because the gays are on the cover. And I should tell you, that was at the store in Mountain Home, Arkansas. Mountain Home, Arkansas. So yeah, you want to put This Show Is So Gay behind a family shield, you just go ahead and try. But it's not applicable because we're a podcast and we're not in your grocery store. But hey, we're expanding our brand. You never know. You never know where we might end up next. Over in Wyoming on Monday, the Wyoming House passed an amendment that could formally ban the recognition of same-sex marriages performed out of state. And then yesterday, so that was on Monday, it's been a full week there in the Wyoming legislature. Yesterday, Tuesday, the Wyoming Senate went further by initially passing an amendment to constitutionally ban gay marriage in the— oh, I did not know this. Hey, folks, did you know that Wyoming is apparently the equality state? I'm going to pause now for listeners to consider the word irony. But there in the equality state, the Senate went further. They passed this amendment. Senators voted 21-9 in favor of Senate Joint Resolution 5, which defines marriage as a union only between two people of the opposite sex. Even though Wyoming's Republican Governor Matt Mead supports the ban, the legislation would need to clear two more Senate votes before advancing to the House, where passage is not certain, even though the House passed something on Monday. If it made its way to Mead's desk and is signed, it would then be placed before voters in a 2012 referendum. The proposed constitutional amendment was originally worded to ban recognition of all gay unions. It's since been changed to make civil unions a future possibility. Not a current possibility, just maybe some point in the future. I think that earns the right to play this song, because it's apropos and it's requested by tonight's guest. Enjoy. Seriously, one of the best videos ever, ever, ever made. George Michael's Freedom 90. I remember that video. Supermodels, traipsing around, lip syncing. It was good stuff. I pretended they were drag queens, but they were supermodels. Hey, over in Montana. Now, Montana, if you'll recall, loyal listeners, one of my favorite states. Never been there. Never been there. Have no intention of going there anytime soon. But my sixth grade project for Mr. Sherrick's class, I think it was Mr. Sherrick's class there in sixth grade, Fieldstone Middle School, Montvale, New Jersey. We all had to pick a state. I picked Montana to research. I sent a letter there. I got a letter back from the governor. I still think it might be revisionist history that the governor actually wrote it. And I was convinced that, wow, they don't have a lot going on there that he's writing to some 11, 12-year-old in New Jersey. But Montana, the treasure state, I researched it and I have a love for it. That's all I remember about it, is that it's the treasure state. But there in Montana, six gay and lesbian couples have filed a request. They filed it yesterday, asking a district court judge to issue a ruling without a trial on their case seeking domestic partnership recognition. The couples, represented by the ACLU, filed a lawsuit earlier looking to protect gay and lesbian couples and their families under the Equal Protection Clause in the Montana Constitution. Quote, recognition of domestic partnerships would enable our couples to access important legal protections they need to secure their relationships and families, attorney James Getz said on behalf of the plaintiffs in a statement issued yesterday. The Constitution currently, Montana, my treasure state, it currently bans marriage equality and recognition of same-sex couples for protections and benefits that married heterosexual couples can access. Gay and lesbian couples looking for the treasure of marriage and all the benefits that ensue herewith there in Montana. Over in Austria, look how we're getting international, but still doing pop culture a little bit. Former Formula One racing world champion and airline mogul Niki Lauda. Now, Formula One racing is apparently a car thing. Niki Lauda is taking some heat for saying that gays and lesbians should be barred from dancing on television. So apparently the whole deal there is, because everybody's got Dancing with the Stars. You think, you American-centric listeners, which I know you're not, that we're the only ones with Dancing with the Stars? Of course not. We probably stole it from somebody else, usually England. They have Dancing with the Stars there in Austria, and they, on the next season, they have already announced Dancing with the Stars in Austria, that they will be having a man dancing with a man. And so this guy, this Formula One racing and world champion and airline mogul, said, quote, all I want is that children and teenagers don't get to see the wrong role models in dancing. There's so many good things in our culture, and one of those is that men dance with women. That's one of the good things. At this rate, we will soon have to be saying sorry because we are heterosexual. Really? That's his quote. But then here's the best part of the story. Kicker's always at the end. He added, Niki Lauda, he added that he has nothing against gay people. And as we know from the world of public speaking, from the world of being contrite, it doesn't matter what you say, because if you then say, oh, but by the way, I know people who are gay, it excuses everything that comes before it. It takes away the sting. It's a fact. I've done research. He added he has nothing against gay people, and this is hilarious, and that he even has some gay people working for his airline. Really? You got some gay people working for your airline? Never would have guessed. Over in Iran, their president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, he said last Thursday, homosexuality is, quote, against the human spirit. In a 2007 speech at New York's Columbia University, he said, I don't know if you remember this, he notoriously said, quote, in Iran, we don't have homosexuals like in your country, which it was him skirting a question about the treatment of gays in the Islamic Republic. So he was met with boos about that. But last week, addressing officials in the city of Yazd on Thursday, he said, quote, they asked me at Columbia why you crack down on homosexuals in Iran. I answered, we don't have so many homosexuals in Iran because we believe this act is against the human spirit and humanity. End quote. No, sir, you don't have out gay folks in Iran because you believe it's an act against the human spirit and humanity. Let's make that distinction right there. So you can dance there on TV in Austria and work for an airline and be gay. And in Iran, you're against the human spirit. So a lot going on there in the international news. Bringing it back to the U.S. of A., social conservatives in Congress are looking to push back. marriage rights that were passed in D.C. Representative Jim Jordan, an Ohio Republican and chair of the 175-member Republican Study Committee. I want to be on that, kind of. He said he would push to ban same-sex marriage in D.C. This is 1 week after the U.S. Supreme Court rejected an appeal from anti-gay marriage forces seeking to force a referendum on the issue in the nation's capital. Jordan, who introduced the D.C. Defense of Marriage Act in 2009 after the Washington City Council voted to recognize same-sex marriages performed in other jurisdictions, he told The Hill, a publication there in D.C., quote, "I think the RSC, the Republican Study Committee, will push for it, and I'm certainly strongly for it. I don't know if we've made a decision, if I'll do it or let another member do it, but I'm 100% for it." I love the phrase, "if I'll do it or let another member do it," because that there's some bragging rights. There are some bragging rights that come along with being able to take away other people's rights. It's just how that works.
You think I'm pretty without any makeup on. You think I'm funny when I tell the punchline wrong. I know you get me, so I let my walls come down, down. Before you met me, I was alright, but things were kinda heavy. You brought me to life. Now every February, you'll be my Valentine. Valentine, let's go all the way tonight. No regrets, just love. We can dance until we die. You and I. Let's go all the way tonight. No regrets, just love. We can dance until we die.
Oh my gosh, I could listen to that all night long. Hey, guest, you like that song, huh?
Yes, I do.
All right. Let me introduce you. Rob Williams is an award-winning screenwriter and filmmaker and co-owner of Guesthouse Films, which has put out Long-Term Relationship, Back Soon, 3-Day Weekend, Make the Yuletide Gay, and Role Play, which is out on DVD in just a few days, is it not, Rob?
February 8th.
That's coming up. Now, he did not just produce those films. He didn't just direct them. He wrote them, and I think he was the key grip, and I think he catered it. He swept up a little bit afterwards. He did it all. Those movies have been screened at film festivals around the world, winning audience, jury, and acting awards, and securing distribution deals in North America and foreign territories. Along with his partner, Rodney, Rob was named to Instinct Magazine's Leading Men of 2008 for his contribution to gay cinema, and was a guest on this show way, way back in November of 2009. Rob Williams, welcome back to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure to have you back. Now, this is exciting. Role Play's coming out in just a couple weeks.
It's very exciting.
Now, what's the plan? How do we tell people about this?
I don't know. Let's get on Facebook and try to spread the word as much as we can.
Okay, that's a good thing. I have to say, it's very funny that you managed to work in Role Play in all of your Facebook statuses.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's almost like I'm using Facebook as a marketing tool.
It's very silly, Rob. Who would have ever come up with that idea? Well, that's...
I know, it's crazy.
Well, tell everybody about Role Play. What do we need to know about this movie?
Oh, well, Role Play is a drama about a soap opera actor who's hiding out from the press after he's been outed because of a sex tape.
Okay.
And then he's hiding out in Palm Springs at a very secluded inn, and he runs into a gay marriage activist who is going through a divorce.
Oh.
And so that's getting a lot of really bad press as well. So they're both kind of hiding out from the media, and, you know, they meet and because they're a couple of good-looking guys, you know, meet, fall in love, and, you know, he goes from there.
All right. Does it end happily? Ruin the ending, Rob.
Well, I think anyone who's seen any of my other films knows that you know, I'm all for the ending that's very hopeful and happy and
okay.
You know, I don't like I don't think I could make a movie where everyone kind of, you know, dies
okay.
and unhappy in the end.
I like when the gay people end up happy. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And it's getting a lot of orders, is it not? It's one it's really up there in on all the different LGBT rankings on all the different sites that you can order it from.
It is. It's really nice. It's the number one best-selling pre-order on the TLA website.
Fantastic.
And it's the number one best-selling DVD on the Wolf Video website. So that's really amazing. I mean, I don't think we've ever had any of our films have been number one on either of those charts.
That's so. Now, is there a party? Are we going to a party?
I think there's a little party on that night in West Hollywood at, was it Club Tiger Heat at Mickey's?
Okay.
And then we're going to hopefully have another party that we'll be announcing soon.
Okay.
We're still working out some details. But, oh, yes, on February 8th, we will be partying.
Okay. All right, then we'll have some sort of mirror party here in Vermont.
Excellent.
Okay. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Guest House because there's the tagline I adore, and the tagline, if folks have not seen it, is unique stories that usually cannot be found in other productions. How would you characterize the unique stories that your company puts out there?
We always just say, you know, between my partner and myself, you know, it's like that we want to make movies that we want to see.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, we focus on, you know, some first and foremost, it's always, would I go see this?
Okay.
And, you know, and then we call ourselves a totally gay motion picture company. So obviously, you know, all of our movies are about the gay community, and we always want to try to do something that people haven't seen before, but do something in a different way, and just, you know, kind of tell different stories, and, you know, tell positive stories that people can watch it and feel good, and not watch something and have, you know, everyone dies in the end.
Right.
So,
but so you're describing movies that have a great, happy story, you know, certainly with some struggle along the way involving gay people. You know, you wouldn't think that this is such a niche market, but it kind of is in a way. And as you guys say, that other production companies are not putting these movies out there. Is there a risk in really putting these out there if we come a long way and no, it's just totally safe to put these movies out there?
I think we've reached a point where it's safe to put these out there. But it really is interesting that one of the reasons we started Guest House Films was because we watched so many gay films that were about how hard it is to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was never really about the fact that, you know, people who were gay were struggling because, you know, we all struggle looking for love or, you know, struggle with work or whatever. And, you know, in that respect, you know, we're really no different than anyone else. But so many gay films are about how difficult it is to be gay.
Right.
And how horrible it is and how people are treated badly and people are beaten up, people are killed, people are, you know, it's just are struggling with that. And pretty much I think one of the things that defines most of our movies is that the characters are all, you know, openly gay.
Right.
You know, there's... You know, very rarely that you'll find one of our characters where it's like someone who's struggling with it or something. But, you know, they're all gay, and they're all fine with it, and they're all pretty, you know, self-aware and, you know, very well-adjusted. And people who are like, I'm gay, but that's not all who I am.
Right. They're also very pretty.
That they are. Yeah.
You're very pretty people.
That's one of the fun part of, you know, what I do is like, I get to, you know, tell really pretty boys to take off their clothes and pretend to have sex while I film it.
It's a very rough life that you lead there, Rob Williams.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's really, we should get you more support. And by that, I mean, if you ever need any help, call me and I'll come tell the pretty boys that. Well, it's kind of an interesting week to have you on the show because, as we know, we'll talk a little bit about the Oscars. But I don't know if you saw this story because I'd love to get your take on this. Did you see that Alan Cumming came out of the closet? He's been out, but he came out with a statement this week, blasting a little bit Rupert Everett and Richard Chamberlain more recently, who said that gay actors should stay in the closet, that they shouldn't come out because it's going to kill their careers. And Alan Cumming said this week, you know what, that's just, he said, quote, it is irresponsible. And he said, I think it's so mean-spirited. If you're living a lie, that's not healthy. And I think it's really irresponsible of Chamberlain and Rupert to say these things. What about gay actors staying in the closet?
I totally agree with Alan Cumming. I hadn't read that statement, but, you know, it's very frustrating when you hear openly gay actors who are out there and they have been role models, they are role models, they are people who are openly gay and still working, telling other people to stay in the closet.
Yeah.
I don't have really a whole lot of patience for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's one of those things, and you know, this is certainly one of the issues that we look at in the movies, is that, you know, we'll never know. You know, people always say, you know, there's no openly gay leading man in romantic comedy, so it's like, well, not yet.
Right.
And until one of these actors comes out, who we all know is gay, and they just come out, and then everyone is, you know, it's official, we'll never know if audiences really will accept them in those roles. And I think that, you know, there is a responsibility for these people to come out and to show people that you can be a working actor, you can be a star, you can be whatever, and still be true to yourself.
But as someone, now you are in the industry, are you seeing these pressures up close that might tell a gay actor, you know what, maybe I should stay in the closet because this is going to hurt my career if I come out?
Well, I'm at a level, just because I'm making gay films,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, there's not a lot of people telling the actors that are in, or the films I'm dealing with, you know, to stay in the closet, but that I do hear those stories.
Yeah.
Matthew Montgomery, who's one of the stars of Roleplay, has said that, you know, while he is, you know, openly gay, he's actually in a relationship with Steve Callahan, who's his co-star in Roleplay.
Okay.
And they're both very, you know, open and out and proud of that fact. You know, he had, when he was talking to, trying to get an agent, you know, early on, a gay agent tell him to stay in the closet. And, you know, that kind of made him very upset because, you know, there's openly gay people behind the scenes telling openly gay people in front of the scenes to stay in the closet.
Right.
So it is very frustrating. And, you know, you talk to actors, you know, even on the level of, you know, independent gay films. And there are some that are, you know, just don't want to talk about it.
Right. So they should come to you, these gay actors.
Well, they should.
Okay.
And, you know, I have tremendous respect for anyone who is out on any level. You know, Matthew and Steve and you know, David Pevsner, who is also in our movie, and, you know, all these wonderful people who are being role models, whether they're in role play or whether they're, you know, getting nominated for Oscars.
Yeah.
You know, whatever level that you're at, you should be true to yourself and be a role model.
Which leads us to the Oscars, uh-huh. which I gathered from your status update on Facebook, you were a little nonplussed. You didn't seem so excited.
Not so excited.
Okay.
But I wasn't excited about really a lot of the movies. So, you know, there are only two movies that really moved me all year, and that was Toy Story 3, which
best.
I still think is the best film of the year.
I cried at the end.
I know. It was amazing. And the fact that it did all that, and it was, you know, this wonderful animated film was great. And Black Swan.
I did not see Black Swan. I haven't seen it yet.
It's pretty amazing.
Okay. Now, you know, Mark Ruffalo, who was nominated for an Oscar, he said today, which I think is a little bit curious, he said that the nominations for The Kids Are All Right, and did you see The Kids Are All Right?
Yes.
And what did you think of that one?
Why don't you ask the question first?
Okay. He's saving it. Because I'll tell you what I thought. I didn't actually really love it that much. But he said that the nominations for The Kids Are All Right are a win for marriage equality. I didn't really put those two things together.
Mm.
I didn't really take the nominations for The Kids Are All Right to mean that this is an endorsement of marriage equality by the Academy of Motion Pictures.
No, not so much.
Okay. Okay, now I want to know what you thought of The Kids Are All Right, though.
I don't want to give away any of the plot of the film.
Okay.
But just kind of one of the basic things of the film, I think, was...
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
A very positive reflection of the LGBT community. And, there were some things in there that really bothered me.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's kind of being supported so much by our community is a little odd to me, because...
Why is that? Are we just clinging to what... So I'm so happy that you said this. So, okay, we won't give away the plot, but certainly it feels like someone is not true to their queer identity in the film.
Yes, which is odd, because it was, I think, written and directed by...
Oh, yeah.
A lesbian filmmaker, and... So it's very odd that this is the story that she chose to tell, and it's fine, it's very well done and all of that, but yeah, I think we are kind of desperate for these portrayals of our community, and so when something like this comes along, we do cling to it because we don't see it.
Right.
And when you're lucky enough to get Annette Bening and Julianne Moore and Mark Ruffalo in your film, think you're lucky having, and just enjoy it, but it's very rare that people like that do a gay themed film. Yeah. Really,
I had we went with a friend of ours, my partner and I went with a friend of, oh, Jody, who co-hosts the show often, and Jody called us up in advance and said, I need you to go read about some spoilers and stuff, because if it turns out that a gay character ends up straight by the end, I absolutely don't want to go. And so, I read a couple spoilers, but I didn't want to learn too much about it. And it looked like, okay, that's not what happens at the end. But still, when we went to see the movie, very dissatisfied.
Yeah.
And then we had a really hard time reconciling, oh, the gay community has really taken on this movie as one of our own, and now Mark Ruffalo is saying it's a win for marriage equality. I actually don't want this movie to be a win for marriage equality.
As someone who really struggles to put out films, yeah, that have, like I said, well-adjusted gay characters who are very comfortable and very strong with their gay identity, you want to see a film that's about someone who doesn't question that and who is true to that. So
will you pull back the curtain for us a little bit? Because I think what a lot of us just see are, okay, here are the movies that Guesthouse is putting out and we can get them and they're on Netflix and we watch them and we enjoy them. And great, they're the movies. They get straight from your head to either our computer screens or DVD or whatnot. Can you pull back the curtain a little and talk about those struggles? Where is it that you, in the whole process, and I know creating a film is quite the process, where do you encounter the most resistance? What are the biggest hurdles to jump in this process?
I think the biggest hurdle is that when you make a gay-themed film,
mm-hmm,
the only thing that a lot of people care about is how sexy are the photos.
Oh.
And with our last film, which was Make the Old Tide Gay, which was a family Christmas comedy.
Yes, it was.
And there was not, there was no sex in there. There was a lot of sexual innuendo, but, people basically kept their clothes on for the whole film. And it was, it's very much a family film.
Right.
And, to have people say, we don't know how to sell this because there's not a sexy shot of the two leads in bed shirtless, and it's kind of like, really?
Is that what we need?
that's
we have gingerbread men there.
Yes, but so when we made role play, we did a photo shoot to make sure we had a very sexy shot of people on the cover, so that, because that's what retailers and distributors and everyone really want. And it's, I'd much rather have, the cute little shot of the gingerbread man for Make the Old Guy Gay than, you know, something sexy that doesn't represent the movie.
That's so interesting.
Anyway, you know, that's just one thing. I mean, The Greatest Obstacle is really just trying to get it out there and break through the clutter of, you know, there are so many movies out there, period, and there are so many gay films out there, and mm-hmm. then just trying to make your film, you know, unique and stand out.
Yeah. But there are people who are starving for them, and I'm sure you know that. But even my partner, I think at this point, since we've gotten our little unlimited online Netflix account, he just goes through every gay movie there in that category. And so I think that people really are starved for it. I mean, we're not, you know, look, we're in Vermont, which certainly has quite a few out gay folks. So we're not in that part of the country where we can only access gay culture through movies, but we still want it badly, you know? And then you have all those folks who really their access to gay culture are through your movies.
We get emails from people all over the world who see our films and appreciate them. And, you know, you do, you know, I live in Los Angeles, so it's
there are some out gay people there.
There are a few out gay people here.
Yeah, I've been.
Pretty much everywhere you turn. and, you know, so we sometimes forget that, you know, a lot of us were once living in places that weren't so welcoming to gay people, and that's why we all moved to Los Angeles.
Right.
And, you know, to get letters from people who live in the Midwest or teenagers who, you know, we actually got a lot of email after Make the Old Guy Gay from teenagers who saw it.
Yeah.
Because it's all about coming out to your parents and, you know, telling us, basically, I saw this movie and I came out to my parents and they still love me. And, you know, but your movie kind of gave me that power to do that. And, you know, it just gives me chills when I think about someone saying that. So,
look at that.
Yeah, it's interesting to realize that there are a lot of people out there who really do crave these movies and who need them to get by. And it's like the It Gets Better campaign. Sometimes, you know, these people need to see something that shows them it gets better.
Right.
And, you know.
It's a whole big world out there, as it turns out.
Yep.
All right. Well, we have to talk about your musical selections for the evening. Now, you've done this before, but we're making you do it again because you have all new songs. This is the part of the show, Rob Williams, where you tell our listening audience what some of your musical selections say about Rob Williams.
Oh, God.
I know. You're back in it. So we started off the show, I said, in terms of music videos, make the argument it's in my top five of all time. What does George Michael's Freedom say about Rob Williams?
Oh, gosh. Well, two things. One, I just recently found out there's a version of that song by one of my idols, Robbie Williams.
I did not know that.
It is. It's pretty amazing.
Okay.
So that's kind of been stuck in my head. But it also represents how the fact that Guest House Films is self-distributing our new film, and, you know, we are taking control of it. We're doing it ourselves. We're getting it out there, and we're, you know, just really taking control of what we do, and there is a lot of freedom in that, and so that's why that song sticks in my head right now.
Nice. Okay. That's a good one. That was a good one, Rob. Now, you have to be pretty complex on this one, because it's not just what is Teenage Dream say about Rob Williams, but you specifically requested the Glee version of Teenage Dream. So what does the Glee version of Teenage Dream say about Rob Williams?
that moment in Glee where Blaine, is that the character?
Yeah,
name?
Blaine, oh yeah.
You know, sings Teenage Dream to Kurt
mm-hmm.
was one of the most positive, uplifting, wonderful moments of TV in the past year, and I think one of the most wonderful gay moments of TV, because it was this very clear, this teenage boy is singing the song to another teenage boy, and the look on Kurt's face in that scene is just kind of priceless, and then Darren Criss is just adorable.
He's dreamy. He's dreamy.
He is dreamy. And it's, you know, it's such a great, fun song. And I have to tell you, I had never heard the song before I saw it on Glee. And it's like, I loved it. And then I heard the original by
Katy Perry.
Someone else.
Yeah.
And on the radio, I was like, oh, I don't like that.
Well, that is, I have to tell you, there are, in some ways that works out, but then I get a little bit frightened when I talk to younger people who are talking about some of the songs on Glee, and they're like, oh yeah, the original version from Glee. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's a Journey song from the 80s,
yeah.
But okay, that's fine. I'm happy you know that song. All right, I'm only going to make you do one more. I'm going to make you do one more, and it's the one that I know you care about. What does Lover by Tom Goss say about Rob Williams? And you can give us the backstory, too, on it.
Ah, gosh. Well, Lover is featured in Role Play. It's by Tom Goss, who is an amazing singer-songwriter. And I've worked with him before. He had a song called Rise in my film Three-Day Weekend.
Okay.
And so I had worked with him. I knew him, and so I've been getting his stuff. And that song, to me, is just this wonderful, beautiful love story. And as soon as I heard it, I contacted Tom. It's like, I want this in my movie. And he, you know, after all of that, you know, which was great. I'm so lucky that he let us use it. He did an amazing music video for it that was put out right before Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed. And it was all about, you know, someone at home losing a loved one overseas who's in the military. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really beautiful video. It's a really beautiful song. And, you know, Tom is someone that I've gotten to know a little bit because I worked with him in the movies. And, you know, it's really just a lovely song that you can listen to and think of a loved one in your life.
Nice. Nice. Well, Mike, so we're going to play that in just a minute. Now, I have to tell you, one of my favorite parts about doing the show for the past couple of years is when guests request music and then it ends up on my iPod. And so when I'm driving in the car and I have my iPod on, just shuffle and songs come up and they remind me of guests because I didn't have them before. But one song, it doesn't just come up on shuffle. I play it all the time. I love Gloria from Make the Yuletide Gay.
Oh, good. Thank you.
That really, so that was a song that Rob requested his first time on the show a year and a half ago. It's a really enjoyable song.
Yeah, that was one of the songs that was written for our film by Jake Monaco and Jen Hansen, and they performed it and did a great music video. And I love that song.
I love it. I love it.
It just makes me happy every time I hear it.
So now you have Role Play coming out just in a few weeks. Are you working on something else, or are we just focused totally on, I mean, it seems like there's a lot to do to get the word out there, and that's an ever-going process. Are you working on other things right now? Do we know what the next project is?
We've got a couple that are in development. One is Make the Yuletide Gay 2.
Oh, yay!
So we hope to make that. You know, a lot of people really want that. It's just really all about the financing at this point. And the other project we're working on is called The Mystic Chord, and it's a kind of a very dark drama about a gay man who loses his memories after a mental breakdown and him struggling to learn who he is and who he was before the breakdown. And it's based on a novel called Van Allen's Ecstasy by Jim Tuschinski, which is a great book. Everyone should pick it up.
Okay.
And so, you know, we're kind of, as soon as Role Play is out, we're going to kick up the fundraising goal or the fundraising efforts to get one or both of those made. And, you know, either one I'd be really excited about.
And you're going to come back on this show to talk about those films when they get made.
I'll come back on the show anytime you want.
Oh, Rob Williams. Now, where can folks go to learn more about all these cool things that you do there?
Well, we've got a few pages on the Facebook.
Yes.
And so definitely check us out there. And then our website is guesthousefilms.com.
Fantastic. You're putting out movies that people want, Rob, and you're putting out movies that our culture needs and that people just all over this world are clamoring for. It is enormously, enormously appreciated, the work that you are doing. I know thank you. It's not always easy, but I hope you know how much it's appreciated.
Well, thank you. That means a lot.
All right. Well, we're going to play a little Lover by Tom Goss. Rob Williams, always a pleasure. Looking forward to having you back on the show.
Thank you.
All our best.
Winter rain, it falls too hard. Take my hand and take my heart. In these times when we're apart, you are still my lover. I can feel your whisper close, like the sweetness of a rose. When I turn, I hear your voice. You're my only lover. They say that everyone thousand years of love may come to wrap you up and tie your bones. Well, I've got mine. You met me off the train. You knew my face, you knew my name. It's my soul you came to claim. Yeah, you heal me, lover. You held me close, you held me tight. Those arms, they took me through the night. Wake to grant me a new life. You inspire me, lover. They say mine. Tragedy seems to strike at the peak of any life. No matter what it tries, you are still my lover. I hold you close, I hold you fast. And wipe
So I caught a little bit of flack after I perhaps said that I have a fondness for Chick-fil-A, caught some flack from my vegetarian friends, also caught some flack from some gay folks across the country who wrote in to this show is so gay at AOL.com and said, but you know that they're totally against gay people. And I understand that they are, but those waffle fries are still enjoyable. But I am here proclaiming on tonight's This Show Is So Gay that my affinity for Chick-fil-A, even though I am a vegetarian, so I'd like to put it out there that I haven't had Chick-fil-A in many, many years, like 8-9 years. But it seems a lot more certain. So what had happened a few weeks ago was that a Chick-fil-A franchise, I think in Pennsylvania, had supported some sort of conference that was against gay marriage in some way. And then Chick-fil-A put out a message and they said, no, this doesn't represent the whole corporate structure. And thus Ken can keep eating our waffle fries, which is how I interpreted it, even though I don't eat them. But now it seems to be more irrefutable that Chick-fil-A, not great with the gays. This is the way it goes. So first we have Chick-fil-A has franchises who frequently donate to anti-gay organizations like the Pennsylvania Family Institute, Focus on the Family, and others. So you have that. But then, and this is the news this week, is they have this charitable arm. So the charitable arm of Chick-fil-A of the corporation is called WinShape. And WinShape is holding conferences for opponents of gay marriage and praises their work. And someone, they're holding this conference and someone reached out to WinShape and said, can same-sex couples go to these conferences? And they waffled a little bit. And then whoever was calling them pressed them further and said, can they go? And Windshape said this, quote, we do not accept homosexual couples because of the statement in our contract. So they've put out this blanket ban on gay couples using their facilities because they do not accept homosexual couples. And this is the charitable arm of Chick-fil-A. So it really is just this circle around Chick-fil-A of all their different anti-gay stances. And so when you eat those waffle fries and those very enjoyable chicken sandwiches with the buttered bun that probably aren't even chicken, and that's why they say chick, C-H-I-K. But you should know, not for the gays, not for the gays. Now, this is a story that I think most people would not have heard about. Hopefully it's going to hit the wires, but it really hasn't yet. The Common Application. Now, many people use, as high school students these days, use the Common Application to apply for colleges. One of the drawbacks of the Common Application is that you just can't get any information about sexual orientation. You can't indicate your own, and colleges can't collect that information when they can collect information across a wide variety of categories. So there was this referendum that they were considering, the folks at the Common Application, which is a whole corporation, were considering two potential changes to the Common Application. The first change, and this is, again, this is how a ton, thousands and tens of thousands of students apply to college. The first was an expansion. The first change that was proposed was an expansion of the sex question beyond its current binary format. So that's great. So we can actually collect some information on how students identify with regard to their sex. The second change that they were considering was adding an optional. It was a totally optional question regarding an applicant's sexual orientation. They didn't have to fill it out. You know, you could totally skip that question. You can click submit, and it's absolutely fine, and your Common Application will go through. So Common Application sent out this whole email, and Becca actually forwarded it to me. Thank you, Becca. I love that Becca's still thinking about stories that we would love to cover on the show. Thanks, Becca. Becca sent it to me. And by the way, people have asked, how's Becca doing? Becca's great. I will get an update for you for next week. But Becca's doing fantastic, and she says hi. Becca sent it over to me, and the cover letter said, and the attached memo reflects our resolution on these two proposed changes. So I figured, okay, well, if there was a decision that was made, I skimmed over it because I figured, oh, they said yes to both of these. No, they said no to both of them. They are not allowing any other options in the sex category, and they will not include an optional question on sexual orientation. They simply will not do it. And it's just crazy. They have all of these rationales, some of which don't make any sense at all. On the Common Application, you can check off activities. You go to an activities menu and you can check things like debate club and student government. And now they have a category called LGBT that they added. And they said, well, this is a way to that people can maybe indicate their sexual orientation. And I wish I had the quote in front of me. They said, it's a way people can indicate their sexual orientation, and it's a way that they can prove that they do LGBT advocacy. Holy cow, is that wrong on so many different levels. First of all, no one's going to the activities section to indicate their sexual orientation. Second of all, there's straight people who are involved in LGBT campus organizations on various high schools. Third of all, just because you check LGBT, even if you were in a high school gay straight alliance, it might not have been an advocacy group. It's just so silly. So I work for college. You guys know this. We would love to have this information if students choose to provide it, but we can't even get this information because the Common Application refuses to add any categories. So it's really frustrating, and it probably won't get a ton of press. And yet this is one of those stories that affects really so many different issues on campus. If you had another category for sex, it really might force the issue more for colleges to look at their housing options, to look at, say, what do we provide for housing? What do we need to be doing? Do we have an LGBT resource center? Well, we don't really need one because no one's indicating that they're gay. Well, if they had the option of doing so, I could do this rant all night. Are you getting that impression? Because I could. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop ranting because it's time to stop ranting. You, my friends, you're my friends. You can get in touch with us here at This Show Is So Gay so easily. Drop us an email at thisshowissogay@aol.com. It's cold here in Vermont. Your emails keep things warm. I would love just more emails saying, hey, we're listening. If you have guest suggestions, fantastic. If you have feedback, love it. But if you just want to send an email to thisshowissogay@aol.com and say, hey, we're listening, we love that too. So please send those on over. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com and listen to past shows. Check out all the information about the hosts that we have every week. This week it's just me, but there'll be more people because we have tons of rotating hosts that come in and out of this great studio here in Brattleboro, Vermont. And you can also, of course, check out which guests are coming up. And we have some incredible, oh my gosh, incredible guests coming up. And as always, please, please, please go over to the Facebook, type in "This Show Is So Gay," like our fan page because we sure as heck like you, but we want to know about you. So like our page. And that's really it for us here. It's snowing out there. Getting a little tired of the snow, but as it turns out, it's winter, so these things happen. I'm leaving you with a little Cyndi Lauper, as requested by tonight's guest, Rob Williams. Rob, thank you so much for coming in and making the movies that you make. Get out there, folks. Go make a gay snowman. I don't even know what that means. Go watch a gay movie. They have a whole section there on Netflix, so watch these movies that are maybe not getting the same distribution deals as, say, The Kids Are All Right, which is a problematic movie. Also, watch The Kids Are All Right and write back to me and say, hey, yeah, that was problematic. What happened there? I'm so tempted to give away the plot, but I won't. Go out there, do amazing things, and above all else, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
Kisses your arms away.